This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, October 22nd, 2009.
Now 4:46, the SA meeting will begin. Will the SA members please be seated? Clerk, please call the roll.
Here.
Hola.
This is very tall.
It's a reflex.
Here.
Yep.
Unexcused.
She'll be late. Lucia's here.
Here.
Welch.
Unexcused.
They're not here. Alright, moving on to open microphone. If anyone has any announcements that are not on the agenda, please step forward. And introduce yourself and your year for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Martino, and I'm the president of MANA. And basically, the reason why we're here is I'm sure the majority of you, because the majority of you are also on the appropriations committee, heard about the way that the MANA funding hearing went. Do you think that it wasn't an optimal situation? Do you think that it was handled inappropriately? But beyond that, since the backlash that happened and administrators found out, and speaking with a lot of you, particularly Chris and Nikhil, I think that a lot of you have heard and recognized that it was handled inappropriately, and that all of you really, really had the best of intentions, but just kind of handled it correctly. So first of all, I'd like to thank you for realizing that and vocalizing that with us. We really appreciate that. So thank you first and foremost. Second of all, Lord, we understand your point of view and understanding that the action of allowing to be made an independent organization, which is always functioning as a joint committee, is a very big step, a very big leap. So we understand why you would like there to be more planning involved and see more of a detailed plan as to how the $25,000 per year, which is a lot of money, would be spent. So, in coming with that plan, and moving forward with that plan, we would like to request a meeting with you all. Unfortunately, I have a privilege on Tuesday from at 7:30, so your normal executive meeting wouldn't work. But if meeting with Chris, he suggested that perhaps a Wednesday meeting may be opportune. So, we're kind of here just thanking you for acknowledging the wrong thing that happened and wanting to move forward with us, and also requesting a meeting with the board.
All right. Questions, VP Biz?
Yeah, I mean, this is not really a question, sort of a general comment. I mean, obviously, as Darren just said, we'll be trying to get together a meeting with the Alana Executive Board, the SA Executive Board, but I'll definitely shoot an email out to all the rest of you guys, especially those in the Appropriations Committee. I'm sure Alana would definitely welcome your input as we're trying to work together to put forward a more concrete proposal. So I'll be in contact over the next couple of days.
VP Kumar.
Yeah, I just want to quickly say, thank you guys, for being so constructive moving forward, and I think we can really find a very good solution, in terms of your funding request. I also want to just really thank Chris Faison and Rami for their leadership throughout this whole process, and I think, we have a real good opportunity to move forward in a very constructive manner. That will, I think, get us to the optimal solution for all the parties involved. So thanks, guys.
Anyone else? All right. Thanks for coming, and we look forward to the next. Emily Kutzik.
Chime in there too, but both of us were sitting in live yesterday, actually, commenting on all the ills of the Cornell library system. And one sort of pet peeve of mine that apparently it took me 3 years to sort of recognize and vocalize was the fact that in Olin they have the three different categories of computers: the full access, internet only, and not sure what the third one is. Why can't we put Microsoft Word on all the computers? Can you look into that? That would seriously improve my library experience. And I feel like that's thank you. What was the other thing that we had?
It was the sugar packets, but I'll
sugar packets. Ridiculous.
Anyone else? All right, thanks so much. Does everyone have Emily's email, by the way? If you want.
It's
okay. Great. Any other members of the audience wishing to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to approval of the minutes. VP Kumar.
Just a quick change, I just emailed it to you. But there's a small, like, I just wanted to make sure there's a little confusion, so I just wanted to change the meeting minutes so that the last paragraph on page 4 reads the resolution passed with a vote of 15-5-0, period. That's it.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Go ahead.
And also, in members present, Adam Nicoletti, my last name is spelled in person. Make sure that's clarified.
Okay, Representative Denzin.
Also, this is not necessarily for the clerk, but just, was the vote 15-5-0 or 16-5-0?
It was 15-5-0.
Okay.
Okay. So there have been changes proposed.
Under the roll call section, I'm not a representative. I'm a non-voting member, so I'd suggest that instead of having it divided by representatives and liaisons, you divide it by representatives and non-voting members, so that it would also include Tory Earl and myself.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Okay, are there seconds? Dissent? All right, minutes are approved. Moving on, another one of our comrades has fallen, Boon Jim Lim, class of 2013. An autopsy is still being conducted, but I'd ask that we have a moment of silence and keep him in our thoughts and prayers. Thank you all. We're going to skip ahead to a Gannett update from the Executive Director of Gannett Health Services, Ms. Janet Corson-Rickert.
People with an intent to use the exact bathroom. voters are giving up, say, 40-45% of people who have absolutely no underlying conditions are having quite devastating outcomes for children. I think you're aware that the vast majority of students have done really well, have a mild illness, in fact, better. But what is being quite difficult in some cases is that the individual people that seem to be more susceptible for one reason or another get sick very dramatically and very seriously. So I am asking for your help in spreading the word relative to the vaccine, teaching a little bit more about the safety of the vaccine, but also your help with thinking about what are the things that students need to understand if they don't. How we can be more effective in general. As well as the vaccine, I want to say briefly that this vaccine, I am quite confident in this vaccine. The H1N1 vaccine is made exactly the same way that the seasonal flu vaccine is made every year. What happens, I don't know how much you've read about this, but every year there are different viruses circulating in the virus, usually more than one. And this is made meaning about February, March of each year. A group of scientists get together to try to figure out which viruses will be dominant and circulating during the next flu season. So the vaccines will be made up fresh. It's kind of like the same use of stock, but you add different characters according to what's circulating. If the H1N1 virus had emerged a month or two earlier, that virus would have been added into the regular season Friday with the vaccine. Different types of flu strains represented, and it would not be such a big deal as it is now. I think there are a lot of people worrying about it because it appears to be a separate vaccine. It's a lot of anti-vaccine, which is just another. One more thing that we need to protect people from that didn't get an effective vaccine. So it's really made the same way. Any more risk, in fact, because of the public worry about it, but even more has been usable on a seasonal vaccine. So far, been very safe. So we really feel very strongly about your trying to work. Help us know if there are ways we can communicate better about that. We're all ears.
All right. Thank you very much. We're now going to open the speakers list. Representative Bandit.
First of all, I want to thank you for coming. I think your update was definitely informative for us. I just had two questions. First, I was wondering if we could go a little bit more into the vaccination method. We know that there's only a limited supply of vaccines right now. How will that be ensuring that the people who need it most are getting it? And my second question is, you alluded to the fact that things could get much worse than they even were at the beginning of the year when things will seem to be at their worst. I was wondering what Gannett or Cornell's worst-case scenario provisions are in case things do get out of hand.
Okay, well, to take the first one first, our plan is hard to make because we don't know what vaccine we're going to be next, which has been very challenging for us in communicating with you. What we are trying to do is to target at-risk students first. So anybody with an underlying health condition that we know about is one by one getting a secure message from us letting people know that we have vaccine. Unfortunately, we don't have enough vaccine yet to give to all of the students that are high risk. So we are sort of doing it as we have vaccine. One of the anomalies about this vaccine was distributed is that we got some doses of the H1N1 clearness and some doses of the H1N1 injectable. Although the high risk students are our first target, they can't get the clearness because we don't give that anybody by the line condition. So we will be confusing opening up the H1N1 clearness to some students who aren't high risk. So that's some of the complication of what we're going to be trying to communicate. We are providing some vaccine to high risk employees, federal staff, and third frontline for pregnancy if they can't get the vaccine locally, but otherwise our target are students first. So we'll go first to the high risk students and then to students under age 25, whether they have underlying risk factor or not. Then we'll go to the older students and the faculty and staff and high risk in terms of what we're doing with the plan going forward, we are spending the fluids in the leadership team now. We have an interdisciplinary team that's been putting together most of the campus coordination so far. It's now going through a process. We're kind of debriefing on what worked well and where we have some challenges and what we need to do going forward, then partner with that platform as well. So that was the first thing that we're doing. The second thing is that the
presumption has a conflict in that story.
The state is really even worse than either more people that say or the virus is doing. So we are thinking about ways to further move in that staff, how we get more support from the community, what we would do if we stop all of the non-foods that are between the years when we stop a lot of the so we're doing that kind of planning. We're also thinking about cohort if we think that students are sick enough that we really need to be observing them or we don't have space in the rooms or whatever, we would try to put sick people in one place together and then have healthcare providers actually helping and serving them. So we're doing that kind of planning as well. I guess the last kind of planning is possible that this virus mutates and becomes clear, then the CDC will actually change the recommendations that involve suggestions that we do more social distancing, which means that we actually try to keep people farther apart in social and academic settings, so that we might actually try to intervene in a more active way with how classes are held, public events, that kind of thing. The CDC doesn't know yet whether it's going to have to do that or not, but we're all in this together as well.
All right, Representative Gitlin.
In my opinion, I think one of the large contributors to the increase in cases in the last couple of days, students are sort of letting their guards down because they think that the worst is past. Because there's couple-week period where we hit this plateau, students believe in this, and what I hear over the past few days, that this swine flu, pandemic has sort of passed over. I think all the more so in the next 1 to 2 weeks with another round of prelim examinations, students are going to be getting less sleep, they're going to be in libraries and more confined spaces. So I think in order to counteract a potential second wave, more information should be sent out to students that these risks still are out there, that they can't let their guards down. They have to continue to maintain any normal precautions that they did a few weeks ago when, the pandemic was more visible.
That's very helpful advice, and I think one thing you all might want to think about with us is what role you can take in supporting them, because I do think that your voice is very important to the student body and the compliments are really. So I think we might want to follow up with conversations about
Are there any other questions? Okay, let me just say that the Got Soaked t-shirts were a phenomenal idea. I think people have even been collecting them to, commemorate the swine flu season. So, yeah. And if anyone comes up with any ideas, we can keep in touch.
Tim Marshall will be a great contact for us in the event, so if any of you have thoughts about how the
All right, thank you very much. Before we move on, I'd just like to clarify that the community clause that we approved last week isn't going to be implemented until President Scorton signs off and approves on it. So in case anyone in the audience is wondering, sorry, Andrew. We have a Student Helping Students Fund announcement from Representative Akintoli.
Hello. I just wanted to give a brief blurb about the Student Helping Students Fund, which is part of the Joint Assembly's Financial Aid Review Committee. Student Helping Students Fund is like an emergency fund for any student, any undergraduate student to apply that can. For any undergraduate student to apply for, if some expense comes out of the norm of the normal realm of financial aid, for example, if there was a death in the family and somebody needed to go home for the funeral or whatever, we would help cover the basis, the cost, or if like like your apartment was broken into and it wasn't due to negligence, we cover the cost as well. And so it's a little known fund, but we actually are trying to give it a little bit more visibility this year. And so anybody who can pick up an application at the financial aid office, Gretchen Ryan, and or you can just email me, IOA2, and I can push you in the right direction.
Any questions for Representative Buckenfeld? I had one concern. So when I was chair of JFARC last year, visibility was a tricky issue because on the one hand you wanted students to know about it, but then on the other I know there's, I don't know if Gretchen mentioned, there were a few fraud incidents. So I think, you know, it has to be a balance between maybe informing administrators or faculty members who would be in a position to recommend students as opposed to just getting the word out to everyone and then increasing the likelihood of some fraudulent action. Just something to consider.
Yeah, I understand. And like they had a couple instances where there was almost a couple fraud.
Yeah.
And so it's just basically, you know, me announcing it. And but it's mainly going to go out to the administrators and just make sure that the entire SA knows. And, you know, basically everybody comes to students in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, in case you hear about an incident, you know, one of your constituencies, you
want
to point them to the right direction.
All right, thanks. We have a strategic planning update from Representative VP Bates.
Yeah, so I just wanted to let you all know I will be sitting, I guess, for the rest of the semester on a working group as part of the strategic planning task force relating to education. So this is going to be strategic planning for education. It's myself, a grad student, and then a number of faculty members and administrators. So I'll try to make periodic updates. We have our first meeting tomorrow. So I just want to give you guys a bit of a heads up about that, and I will keep everyone informed.
Great, thanks. Office hours on this Saturday, Live Cafe, 12 to 2 p.m. again. Into the Streets will be Saturday, October 31st. We have, I think, 4 open slots. So if anyone's interested, I'll send you an email reminder, and please let me know. We ordered T-shirts as well for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now, appropriate. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You want to? Hear, yeah. I'll,
VP Kumar.
Just real quick, CID. Do you know when your next meeting is? Next Wednesday. Okay. And then, just a quick dining. Yes. Get the sugar packets back in Olin.
Don't worry.
You know when your next meeting is?
Next Wednesday.
All right. And do you have any updates?
Yeah. Dining update, Representative Lutella.
More announcements than anything, but next week, the Monday the 26th through the 30th, I will be having a formal grand opening. So for all of you guys that are down there, definitely go down there. There's going to be a lot of free giveaways as well as raffles for some pretty cool things. Such as a Blu-ray DVD player or a disc player, camera, a few other things. So dining is actually putting a lot of money into try to get, you know, a lot of support for us. Okay.
Yeah, and it would be great if VP Andrews can send info out to the service so people would know, or the Facebook group. Yeah. Okay, Communications mm-hmm. Committee update, VP Andrews.
Yeah, so the major thing on our agenda was the proposed website, and it seems like we have the project profile, which we typed up, which I'll be sending out over the listserv, a meeting at 6:30 after this meeting with a potential student who may be willing to build a website for us. So that's moving forward. Also, next week is going to be the, I'm going to attempt to get the PR campaign concerning the facts and the names of people that I sent out in the Google Doc that I sent out. So those banners should hopefully be up by next week, depending on how long it takes to get the UUP form approved. If not next week, definitely the week after. So that information they sent me will be around campus, hopefully by next week, if not the week after. Also, this is the big thing. I'm going to start soliciting articles for the newsletter directly after this meeting. So if you have, you know, the housing issues, the community clause, please send me those articles by next Wednesday. So that if I don't get the articles by, and I'll be making another announcement on the Thursday meeting, but definitely try and get them to you by next Wednesday, and then we're going to try and get the first newsletter out by the first week of November. So that's definitely the next two things, communications, things that we'll be doing, and we're having our next meeting next Wednesday night. If you guys want to attend, you're most welcome.
Environmental Committee update, Representative Rabbit.
We had an environmental meeting last Tuesday at 8 o'clock. We're currently working on a lot of different things. I don't know if you guys saw this on the other day, but they're on the Arctic Farm, a lot of flashings are still lit up during the night when it's kind of unnecessary. So we're working on trying to pass some sort of resolution on that. We're working also on changing the recycling system on North Campus and trying to make it some sort of mandatory thing about having a recycling system for every trash can. Another thing that we're trying to tackle is the heating problems on campus. At least in my fraternity house, like my room is a sauna right now. Just another update on if you guys saw on the art squad today, Cornell was awarded a tree can, like the 2009 Tree Canvas USA University. They were basically given this award of 50 trees that we planted around the university today. We had a good turnout from the SA Environmental Committee, and it was a good time. Elections, I'm basically having elections for different EP positions on the committee next week, so if you're interested, let me know.
Okay, we have Appropriations Committee allocations by VPB.
All right, so first of all, we're going to go through the Appropriations hearing decision that we had from Monday for years. And then we'll kind of backtrack, and we're going to go into SAFC appeals. The Assembly hears SAFC appeals once each semester. And these are groups who didn't receive the amount of funding that they wanted, essentially, from the SAFC, either due to a mistake that they made or sometimes a mistake that the commissioners of the SAFC made. So I'll explain that process more fully when we go into it. But first, I guess, please pull out your EARS report. EARS is the Association for Empathy and
Assistance Referral Service.
Empathy and Assistance Referral Service. EARS is a counseling organization. They staff, dozens, I don't think quite hundreds, but dozens of students as student counselors to hear mental health concerns from students on campus. They were requesting and were funded at $1.25, or were recommended to be funded, at $1.25 by the Appropriations Committee. Overall, the Assembly was very satisfied with EARS' work. As you can see in the rationale, there were a lot of questions about the fact that EARS spends close to 50% of their budget on publicity. But a lot of committee members felt that this was a necessary expenditure because really, what's the use of counseling if people don't know that it's available and don't feel safe in utilizing the resources? Also, you can see at the bottom there that there were also some concerns about the fact that EARS is paying speaker honorariums to current Cornell staff members, albeit faculty members that are employed in non-counseling positions. But nonetheless, Cornell staff members to come speak about mental health issues to EARS counselors. The SAFC has strict guidelines that no current Cornell staff member can receive speaker fees from the SAF allocations. However, the student activity fee does not have the stipulations. So those fees are above board, but we did encourage EARS as a committee to look to cut those out in the future. So are there any other questions, concerns, thoughts, motions of acclamation?
Call for acclamation.
Second. Is this done? Okay.
Cool. All right, so now I guess we can go ahead and transition to SAFC appeals. So this is your, last page, of your document. This is my SAFC appeal decision summary. We have one group, SAFE, that has requested an appeal before the full assembly. You have their appeal packet in front of you. Not everyone has a copy, but it's kind of interspersed, two for every three. Please share with your neighbor. SAFE cannot be here until 5:45, so I will not discuss them at all until then. If you guys want to come up now, go ahead. But we'll go ahead and talk about the decisions of the other groups. The FESK guidelines, there was some ambiguity in terms of the way the rules were iterated for the way that the SAA has to follow them. In terms of appeal process, this is something we'll be looking into for next semester. However, the way I chose to structure things in order to promote maximum efficiency, basically in prior semesters, all groups were automatically heard by both the Appropriations Committee and the SA for two rounds of appeals. This semester, in the same way we've been doing things with the Appropriations Committee for bioline funding, I gave groups the option to accept the decision of the Appropriations Committee, and if they accepted, they weren't automatically reheard for an appeal today in front of the full SA. That said, like with the bioline funding groups, I encourage you guys, if you have any questions about the decision the Appropriations Committee made, and you want us to consider it more in full, that you motion to table and we'll discuss it next Thursday with the group in the room, because it's not fair for us to discuss the group's funding without them present. Is that good guidelines? Okay, thanks. With that going forward, I guess we'll go ahead and start with club baseball. Club baseball was recommended by a vote of 5-2-1. On the Appropriations Committee to be funded at $3,253 for the fall semester. Both club baseball and TSA Acapella missed the deadline for supporting documentation. We'll discuss them separately, but both groups did make a sincere and concerted attempt to rectify that situation and turn in forms as soon as possible following the deadline, and the Appropriations Committee chose to recognize that effort. And also recognize that if club baseball is not funded, they will not be able to practice or compete for the fall semester. That decision is stated right there. Are there any questions? Nothing, any motion?
Can I make a motion for acclamation to accept the decision?
There's a motion.
Second.
Dissent. Okay, decision is accepted.
Moving down, as I just said, here, SAC Acapella had the same issue with supporting documentation. They had requested funds both to hold their annual fall concert and also for practice, for room reservations for practice space. The Appropriations Committee decided to fund Hearsay just at $2,025 for fall semester, which would fully fund Hearsay's fall concert, but chose not to fund Hearsay's room reservation practice costs. Essentially, again, the committee was operating under the assumption that we were only going to fund for items that sort of were absolutely necessary. And again, here the committee felt that the fact that Hearsay had a binding financial commitment to call auditorium for the concert made it a necessity. Backtracking again, I think it's also sort of fair to say that the way the SAC guidelines are written for both the Appropriations Committee and the Assembly at large, the Assembly's only written responsibility in terms of coming into these appeals is to interject when the SASC has essentially erred in interpreting their own rules for funding a group. So if, for example, the group did provide correct documentation, but the SASC had made a mistake in terms of they just hadn't noticed it in the packet, they hadn't read it correctly, etc., by the guidelines, those are the only circumstances where the SA is explicitly permitted to interject. That said, as I said before, given that the SA is sort of in a weird supervisory role towards the SASC, The Appropriations Committee did take the interpretation that is also stepping in cases where the group would effectively become unpracticing the entire semester, given a zero level of funding. So again, this is a additional responsibility, I guess, or additional privilege that the Appropriations Committee took on in making these decisions. And if you personally disagree with that reading, I guess also definitely voice your opinion. But that philosophy, I guess you could say, provided the framework for both of these two decisions together. So again, are there any more decisions or questions about the hearsay acapella decision? Yeah, Matt?
I'm just curious, I guess, next time we have a little sort of format, what were the initial application of the SAFC for today? What was their appeal for? Just so that I can put this number in context, otherwise, you know,
okay. The original request for hearsay was for $2,475. The difference between those two numbers was $450, as I said, for room reservations for rehearsals. The Appropriations Committee did not fund for those room reservations for rehearsals. The SAFC funded hearsay at $0 because they provided no documentation for either the reservation for their fall concert or for their rehearsals. And do you guys want to step up and comment on these instead of me doing it?
What was the direct question that you asked?
Do you want to repeat it? Can you guys, Yulia and Charlie, introduce yourselves?
Yeah, my name is Yulia Androva, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the SAFC.
Charlie Van, Dollar Coaster.
My bigger question is trying to put these numbers in context.
Okay. I mean, I can provide the same context for the other groups going forward, and just quickly backtrack again. Baseball originally requested $5,608, and their original allocation was $0. So, are there any other questions or motions about hearsay?
Second. Dissent? Okay, the allocation is approved.
All right, going down to club gymnastics. This was a different situation. Club gymnastics, is their only request was funding $3,000, which included a room reservation and coach fee. They go to a gym downtown in Ithaca. They were denied because they didn't provide documentation for this gym reservation. But as you can see in the rationale, there were multiple other groups this semester that also used that gym, and the standards for documentation were not applied to them as well. And also, club gymnastics was not required to provide that documentation in past semesters. So essentially, this is a circumstance where, in effect, the SAFC did err in past semesters by not denying the group then. So this semester, the SAFC did catch their error, but the Appropriations Committee chose not to penalize the group for that this semester. But instead, as I said here, the committee did encourage gymnastics, as well as the other groups. Terry Ector in the Assembly's office is going to contact all the groups that made this mistake, so that they don't make it in the future. So do you guys have anything to add? Okay. Any other questions?
Motion?
Yeah, I'm going to accept.
All right. Call for acclamation. Is there any dissent? Okay, that allocation is approved as well.
All right. Going on to Intimed. Their appeal to the Appropriations Committee was denied by a vote of 8-0. Intimed was requesting, I believe, $380. Is that right? $380 to have a networking event at Lina Rink. This request was denied by the SASC underground as a social event, and the Appropriations Committee concurred with that decision. This is sort of an example of something that could come up for interpretation in terms of whether that did constitute a social event. The Appropriations Committee agreed with the SASC. Do you guys have any comments? Okay. Any other questions or comments from assembly members or motions?
Call for affirmation.
Second. Dissent? Okay. Once again, the allocation is approved.
And then next we have Faith. Are you guys ready to go? Can you please come up to the table? So forward in front of you guys all today, you all have a copy of Faith's appeal application, which includes their original budget packet, as well as their appeal application. And at the end, on the last page of the document, you can see an overall summary of the amounts of money that were requested for originally, were granted for, and were appealed for by the group. And again, that's sort of from the last page of the document. Do you guys want to pull up chairs to the table so you can comment when I start? Thanks. Yeah, so basically the way we'll do this hearing, because the group requested an appeal, I will first present the decision to the Appropriations Committee, then I'll give the SASC 2 minutes to present their rationale, then we'll give SAFE 5 minutes to present their appeal to the Assembly. So really quickly, again, as you guys all have in front of you today on that same document that we were just reading from, there were essentially two issues for SAFE that the Appropriations Committee considered. First, SAFE had...
Can you just describe also the difference between the SAFC and the byline funding?
Sure. Quickly, again, to backtrack as well. Byline funding, as you guys all know, is the big process that we go through every 2 years as an assembly, where we fund about 30 organizations across campus. One of those 30 organizations is the SAFC. The SAFC has $79, something like that, somewhere in the mid-70s, of student activity fee money each year, so about $35, $36 per semester to program for about 500 or 600, is that right, SAFC-funded organizations. I think maybe less than that actually gets funding. 350, okay. 350 organizations that receive funding from the student activity fee. Basically those groups are allocated money through SAFC guidelines, which you guys all have in front of you. The SAFC has very strict objective guidelines. They fund particular dollar amounts for reimbursable for travel. I think it's 7.3 cents per mile. They fund consistent levels for hotel rooms for groups that also want it. They have caps for speaker honorariums, et cetera. Basically, the role of the SAFC is to prevent fraud and embezzlement among student groups of student money, and also to enforce objective standards across all groups so that some groups don't receive more money than other groups. So that's the purpose and existence of the SAFC. And again, the SAFC is the Student Assembly Finance Commission, and it is a committee of the Assembly. They do operate separately. And they really have their own entity, but it is also a committee of the Assembly. So going back to what I was saying before, now my minute starts and I'm on the clock. There were two issues essentially with SAFE. SAFE had requested money, as you guys can all see in your packets, $1,441 for the fall semester for an Arts Quad display about sexual health facts. SAFE had listed this line item in their proposal as publicity and advertising. The SAFC, by their rules, caps publicity at $20, so this amount was denied. In fact, the Art Squad display, the Appropriations Committee, and the SAFC agreed should have been listed in a durable goods category, since this display can be used for multiple years. So the Appropriations Committee voted 7-0-1 to fully fund SAFE $1,441 for the fall semester for their Art Squad display, which included full funding for their printing, poster boards, and lamination of those poster boards. However, the committee did not believe that the SAC erred in denying SAFE funding $800 for SAFE sex supplies, and basically under the grounds that those items really constituted personal use items that the SAC does not fund for. So I'll give you guys, the SAC a minute or two to further expound upon their point of view, and then we'll have SAFE response. So. Sure. Okay. Thanks. So SAC, go ahead. Yulia, do you have anything to add?
And I just want to acknowledge that we overlooked that appeal, given that we concentrated on the more controversial part of the appeal, which is the funding for condoms and sedans and loops. And we denied funding for that because, so we do have a durable goods fund. I think you guys all have the SAC guidelines. And Section 9.5 on page 34 explains the durable goods category. So our new clause this semester is that we allow schools to apply the funding for goods that are either able to exist without deterioration increasingly over 3 years or are necessary for food purpose. This is how they interpret the necessary for food purpose clause. And we also have a section of prohibited expenses under 9.5.3. And one of the clauses there is the commission does not fund any items for personalized use and does not fund for giveaway. Also, this is something that I think indicates functionality or service already available on campus, which is the services provided by NET, and they will go and explain why they feel that these are not there. Basically the FAC does not fund for items that are meant to personalized use, which is a permanent or long-term use by one person. Any giveaway is by definition for use by one person, and this is why we do not fund under our guidelines.
All right, could you guys from state please, was that it? Could you guys please introduce yourselves, name and year, and then go ahead.
My name is Elsa, and I am the project coordinator slash president of SAFE, and I am a junior in
Community College. I'm Nancy Joy, I'm a secondary for SAFE. I'm a junior.
And my name is May, I'm the treasurer for SAFE, and I'm also a junior. Would you like to go ahead and add that? So, I'm going to address a couple of different things. The first issue is the idea of a sophisticated resource. We feel like this is not a sophisticated resource considering the fact that originally when we had appealed to the SAFC, they said that these items could potentially be obtained from Gannett as well as my parents. Gannett, although it only provides two kinds of services, it is a little obscure to understand that all students can actually read. A lot of them are not, in fact, comfortable entering into Gannett to walk in and only grab a condom. In addition, I know several students who in 3 or 4 years of attending Cornell have never actually stepped foot into Gannett, so the fact that these resources are even available is also something to question. In addition, we are doing something different than what Gannett provides. We are directly putting these items into the hands of students for complete accessibility so that they can be used and can be used for sexual health practices. And to address the concerns of these items being obtained from Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood is A, not free, and it's definitely unreasonable to expect students to be able to travel to Planned Parenthood to obtain these items. On the idea of personal use or giveaways, I would like to point out that also in the general goods category, the SAC does fund art supplies that are for personal use to create art. And so that is essential to that purpose, just as providing sexual health supplies is essentially our purpose, that we cannot do our programs if we cannot have these items. Not only because it gives us absolutely no authority to say, hey, everybody, you should really use a condom, and you should come use a condom like this, but we can't actually show you how to do that because FDA will not fund these items. In addition, I would like to point out that we are asking for 1 cent per item. 1 cent. 1 cent per item, which is less than a lot of quarter cards are. So if you're arguing that our items are for personal use, I would say that our giveaway, quarter cards are definitely the definition of giveaway, and we are asking for a relatively equal price to these. So it's a low cost, I benefit investment. In addition, sexual health applies to something other than giveaway. We are not simply just handing these off to students, throwing them out into the air. We are giving them to them as, and we are demonstrating. So we use condoms, for instance, or disadvantage, we are all passing the board to demonstrate how they are used as educational tools, not for personal use. Obviously, as sexual health that spreads education awareness, these items are essential for our mission that we cannot complete without them. A little analogy. Say if Quinnell was a country, and you guys are the government, we are community members. And we have community members working like social workers, health department workers, and other people to be educating the general population. Taking that away, if we do not have these items, we cannot help the community from acting responsibly. And the last thing that I would like to say,
oh my God.
This is 26 pages of signed student names and net IDs that say this is an essential part of your guys' duty to fund these items for us and to ensure the well-being of the student community.
Is that all? Okay. We're now going to open up the speakers list. Representative Brack.
Alright, hey guys. Okay, so as you may know, I'm the chair for the Women's Issues Committee, and I was asked on behalf of my committee, along with other constituents, to talk about this issue and to urge you guys to rethink the decision of the SAFC and the SA. I just wanted to touch on a couple points that Lisa just brought up. I want to talk about the fact that this is promoting personal health. I know I'm on the Appropriations Committee, and I know that when we talk and decide if we should give money to a certain organization, we make sure that it helps every single one of the students because it's part of our money. I believe that personal health is a factor that should be involved with every single student on this campus. It's not something that's for personal use when it helps prevent committed HIV, other STDs that can be spread to not only one person but to numerous students on campus. I think it's our job as a student assembly to help people not only politically and socially change our campus but also to increase health and health awareness and all that kind of stuff. Also, touching on the fact of personal use, this is more about safety issues than it is about enjoyment and pleasure. I think that when you have someone come up to you that's a peer and is saying, hey, look, this is cool. We want you to be safe. We want you to do whatever you want to do in college, but use the right things. Make sure that you're not spreading things that can potentially hurt you and others. So it's not only something that Gannett's saying to you, that this rare authoritative body is telling you. This is something your peers are telling you. This is what you should do. It's cool. We're not ashamed of it. You guys shouldn't be either. And it's something that I think as a student assembly, instead of just doing things for social and political change, we should do something that actually helps us stay healthy. Exactly. Can I yield my time to Representative Welch? Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Representative Benson.
Hi guys, thanks for coming. I wanted to ask the SAFC a couple
appreciate that 3 minutes of talking, my time is limited. So, first, it seems like the two main reasons for denying funds for the condo will move in agenda management. So, personalized use, and duplicate functionality of the service already available on the campus, correct?
And also giveaway, correct?
All right. So, first, on the personalized use, you define personalized use as long term permanent use by one person. Right?
Correct.
So, I'm not sure. I got a long mark on this, but would you classify condo or local move as something that can be used long term or permanently by one person?
Representative, how would you
classify that? I would classify it as a very short term, very non impermanent use by one person.
Okay, therefore it's not durable.
Would you say
that? On the other hand, your definition of durable good seems to be something that is able to exist without significant deterioration. Can a condo, can a room or a demo land exist on its own without considerable deterioration?
Well, we can't take the guidelines out of context. The problem is once you give it away, it gets for the purposes, for example, if you're playing baseball and you're using baseball bats, you can use it for multiple semesters. If you're using condoms, you can only use it for one time and it's going to be
Perhaps the visual is then or given to be good.
30 seconds. Someone else. Motion to extend his time. Okay, good.
Alright, so, essentially, the group itself can hold these goods for a long period of time without deteriorating. That would be correct.
You don't
want to
hold those for too long, but yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. And second, moving on to the second point of duplicate functionality, does Gwinnett, as far as you know, give away dental data?
That is his responsibility to include that kind of information. I just wanted to do a point of clarification. Okay, I don't want to waste this time.
Okay, and then second, I'm just going to speak now rather than a question. I know many, many people, both in my own constituency and in general at Cornell, that do not feel comfortable walking into Gannett, especially in the current environment where swine flu is a big deal, and walking into Gannett could endanger your health. And so I think that having students that are willing to go out there to provide the health awareness and sexual awareness goods is a great service for the university. I think it's a shame that the SAFC has felt that, according to its bylaws, it cannot fund these, but I think that as a representative of the students, it's not only something that we should do, but it's something that is our responsibility to do in order to protect the students.
Can I clarify what you're saying?
Sure.
I agree with the substance of Representative Graff's comments and also Representative Gander, but I think there's a huge miscommunication here. It is not the role of SAFC to fund these kind of items. As a student assembly, you have the ability to change our guidelines with our health and look into that for the semester to come. But as we stand right now, everything that both of you have said is fine, and that's something that the Appropriations Committee can deal with. We have no personal issues with this club. The problem is that they've teamed up on the 350 organizations. Allowing organizations to receive funding for things like this is completely not applicable to the SAFC and what we stand for. What Representative Raff is saying, Representative Sanders about the importance of safe sex and so forth, it's also very important to us, but our guidelines are all strict from what we want. We're a subsidiary organization, and the Appropriations Committee deals and funds groups like peers and so forth that have these special needs that are important to the entire student body. One of the things you might have noticed about the FASC is that we're completely objective in terms of funding groups that may not have as big of impact on campus as other groups. That is completely, we have the ILR Board Management Club, and probably people outside of ILR may not be involved in it. The sexual health of all students is very important to us, but that is not a guideline we look at, because otherwise we wouldn't be the NDFD. We fund by objective guidelines that groups are aware of before they go through the process, and we can sponsor goods for personalized use, for giveaways, whether it's as on your street bike helmet, could be computer software and advisory programs and so forth. Just because these are state sections does not mean that we should look at them any differently, because this decision would affect how all the time groups will look at the clause for this message to come. And those are the problems that you're running into. So if the essay feels that this is important, important to the clause, I personally feel is very important for our campus, then there should be an appropriate committee venue for doing this. But this is not the role of the SAC, and I don't think the SAC should be ashamed for doing the job on the guidelines, but if you as the SAC want to feel ashamed for not having a poster understanding what we do, then that's up to you.
Point of information.
Sure.
Just that I totally respect your decision, and I totally understand that.
Yeah,
but I have a question. Isn't the fact that they're appealing to the essay mean that we're not looking at it objectively, we're looking at it subjectively?
Yeah, so
it's nothing against the SAFC, which is objective, and we all know that, but it's
again,
more
here,
that we're...
I'll comment on that. Again, the way the SAFC guidelines instruct the essay to look at groups, they instruct the essay to look at groups objectively as well. Granted, the nature of the essay and the fact that these guidelines are written in the SAFC charter, not the essay charter, does allow us to essentially overstep our boundaries when we see fit. But that subjectivity, as Yulia just said, creates problems in terms of maintaining consistency across 350 groups. So, you know, when we step in and essentially overstep our bounds and provide funding to organizations that miss the guideline deadline, also recognize that for each group that we see here today, there were literally dozens of other organizations that had similar mistakes in their budget, but that didn't appeal. This is a problem inherent in the SAFC system, and this is a problem that existed when I was a freshman, and it still exists today. And this is something that we need, and especially you younger members, it's something that's great to take on and to start to work to change. But those objective standards do exist today. So did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Basically, for everyone, SAFC goes by the book. We look at things on a case-by-case basis. Or does that admit?
So basically, I was there as they were actually discussing this appeal as well. And one of the first things that I want to say, I think that was one of the actually members on the FDLC who mentioned Planned Parenthood at the beginning. What I was saying is that it's not as if we expect students to go to Planned Parenthood. What I was actually suggesting to your organization is that you collaborate with organizations like Planned Parenthood and like PIGMED to provide, again, students with those comments. I have an organization myself that actually went to Planned Parenthood and they were willing to provide really comments to students. So mainly, number one, your main issue is with the environment, so feeling uncomfortable going in looking at it. I think there are a lot more alternatives for you to do so. Second thing that I would really want to address was, again, personal use. As a student assembly, I think one of the main things that we do is try to allocate this time to see as effectively as possible. And the main reason why the durable clause is in there in the first place is because we don't want to use the general student body seat to be for Sean or John or Jane. We want to use items that can be used consistently year after year for all students, regardless, in regards to whatever respective organization that they're in. And something like condoms, again, is really your personalized use. It can be only for use in that one instance. And if the main purpose of this organization is to promote safe sex practices, I'd be totally in favor of buying, diagrams or, again, these types of posters that actually show how to use a condom. I don't think the actual purchase of condoms is really needed in order to educate students on how to use them. Because of that, I really do support the decision, the initial decision of the FAC and as well as the appropriation.
Can I clarify?
I'll give you 30 seconds.
Okay, I just want to say that as you said in our appeal to the FAA Appropriations Committee, that we are actually getting these items at once approved through working with Planned Parenthood. And I'd also like to say that the net cut, I think, over $1 million last year in their budget. We had a price to use the condoms that they give away in their low art. In addition, the Student Assembly Funding Committee funds personal travel for students going to things that are related to the organization, whether that be a conference and whatnot. So I think that that is a huge personal expense.
Right.
This is a small one.
Okay. DOE June.
question for you guys. Would you guys mind explaining your events and how those work and how you educate things like that? I guess what's the good?
Yeah, so we do several things. So one of the main things that we do with condoms is that we have a penis model for you, and we demonstrate the 10 steps to put on a condom, which are actually really very important and people actually do correctly. In addition, we do distributions on Hope Plaza. We do Sex 101 programming and residence halls, co-ops, etc. We also have a college farm bar project where we put small containers of condoms on weekend nights and in college farm bars. They are accessible, which people may not have planned previously to have these items. And I also want to mention one other thing is that we're asking for more than condoms. We're asking for digital dams, which are not provided by the net, and which a lot of people who do not participate in penile vaginal, penile anal, and therefore use. And so not finding these items and they're not being available is quite sexist and heteronormative to the community.
Thank you.
Representative Bryle.
I'd just like to respond to your analogy about the government. And while certainly a minority at Cornell, we're a government, we have a group of passionate religious students raising the point that contraceptive devices are strong against their religious convictions. And, you know, you'd be using the students, the taxpayers, if you will, their money to fund these items. So how would you respond to an accusation that this allocation is attacking the principle of freedom of religion and is less unjust by constitutional use of the freedom of religion?
So you're asking...
Point of information, Cornell's a private university, that's kind of irrelevant.
Right.
Another point of information, we fund a lot of groups. Some byline funded groups that are religiously oriented, you know, like the thing.
Yeah. New question.
Not so prevalent, I think.
Would you like to rephrase or ask another question? Still have a minute.
I was just responding to you now.
Okay. All right. Representative Black. Representative Welch.
Thank you. I guess I would just like kind of argue that the condoms and the dental dam seems like so pivotal to this group's purpose and, you know, their mission. And so it's kind of beyond me how you could not fund them when it's like sex education and health education. So, you want to go? Good, I'm here now. Okay, so we would fund a number of condoms or dental dams for demonstrations. So, for example, she spoke earlier about funding art supplies for the production of art. So while you're producing new art, it's an activity that you do with your club, and it's an activity that brings you together, and for an art club, this is what you do. Another example of this would be the Glow Sticky Club, which is one of our controversial clubs, requesting glow sticks every semester. They put on a show, and this is the purpose of their club. So they're not giving away the glow sticks, they're putting shows, and like the birdies in the magic club gets broken quite frequently. You can only use it for a certain amount of time, but again, it's essential to their club. They play using these birdies. So again, you said that these are items that are essential to a club. You can argue that a multitude of items are essential, but if they are on the one of the prohibited expenses that we agreed upon and the FAA votes upon changes to the guidelines, then we cannot fund for that. So we're not saying that these items should not be given to the club by the net or should not be appropriated funding for by the FAA via special projects or I'm not sure what kind of funding you guys have. We're just saying that as the FAFC, we cannot fund for these items because it opens up a whole Pandora's box of requesting items for first line use and giveaway. And also just to confirm that you represent engineering in the blue shirt.
Right.
So your question is not relevant to our organization because to think in terms of religious
beliefs, because, you know, once we come to the community, we make decisions about having open minds, open hearts, and so forth. So as long as, you know, there's a certain level of agreement on what we will fund, we don't consider these, you know, controversial items, like the fun controversial speakers that might be, you know, speaking about something you don't feel comfortable about, as long as these are done in a safe and open community.
VPB.
All right. Absolutely. I'll, yeah, go ahead.
So the one thing that I just wanted to add, I certainly don't want to broaden the scope of the question, but we all know that there are several organizations on campus that are devoted to social awareness and so on and so forth, and they do it for a multitude of different forms. And I certainly understand from the perspective of state that, you know, they require the drones to do the demonstration. Kind of reference what Julia said, we'd be perfectly fine to try to find a deal for one time or different conferences in doing a demonstration. So the central purpose that we were at, the central problem that we have for funding those items is that we request, you know, 4,000 conferences and we get this explicit number, it's pretty clear that you're not going to have to point out the demonstration during a semester. I think everyone here would agree on that, right? And certainly, you know, they can offer to say, you know, it's something of the other courses related, but I guess my whole point is that, you know, if you're going to say this is essential to the purpose of the group, then in theory, all the other sexual health organizations shouldn't be in existence because, you know, they have been funded for those things and they're still kind of functioning.
All right. We've discussed this for about 20 minutes. I'd like to go ahead and call a question.
Is there any dissent? Dissent? Okay. So we'll vote to vote now. If you can call it, Brittany.
Raise your hand.
Yeah, motion for a hand vote.
Okay, yeah, sure. So we'll take a hand vote. If you want to move to vote on this, raise your hand. Thirteen? Okay, and if you want to keep debating, please raise your hand. Yeah, no, it did not reach 2/3, so we're going to move on to the next speaker on the speaker's list, Representative Gilman.
This is more a question directed at me from Dave. Al, I was just wondering if there's any language in the charter bylaws at all that would basically strike middle ground and that we respect their ruling and, you know, understand that we don't want to set a precedent for, you know, even a small, you know, violation or to the rules. But we also respect that it's an extraordinary circumstance, you know, even everything that was said today, and that we can still be able to fund them for some other method or some.
I mean, I think Yulia's suggestion that we consider a special projects allocation from the assembly is feasible.
That was my question, whether it's possible.
Just a point of information. I believe we could also, in our vote, provide rationales on the intention of our vote. So we could fund that and then also include a certain, you know, an add-on appending to our vote saying, you know, the rationale behind it.
You could do that, but that wouldn't matter for funding purposes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not exactly up to date on the official proceedings of the student assembly. I admire you guys keeping up. However, I'm questioning if I'm not sure what the rules exactly are. If it's proposed that this is funded outside of the SAMC for this semester, will it be funded in the future? Because I personally would not like to go through this every single semester. That only I have to be left, but that's a large concern, and we have been fighting this fight for many years, and I would like to end it soon.
I believe you have to apply for SAFC funding every semester, so unless...
A specific item. So that's why I pointed it out, that's one caveat here, so that you guys make a decision that's favorable to the group, but really it's outside of our box guideline. I think First Senate Sanders, what he's saying, or one of you guys, is that, you know, people say, okay, we agree with the SAFC guidelines, but we would like to make an exception given the extraordinary case and overrule us. What about next semester when we make change after decision and will he have
to, you know, spend 2 months at SAFC and FAA meetings to do this?
I suppose unless SAFC guidelines are changed somehow, then yes, you will have to go jump through the same hoops. VP Kumar.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, a quick question, I guess, for the SAFC folks. So this isn't, you know, these items have not been funded by you guys in the past, right? So that's right?
That's right.
That's right, okay. Thank you.
Representative Nicolet.
Just quickly, my thought on this. In terms of condoms, I think they're already readily available, like places you can get. And I think that, like Representative said, that put pictures of penises on your posters and more permanent items would be a more efficient use of the student's money, especially economic times like this. As well as putting on your quarter cards, your advertising supplies, that you can get these materials at these places. However, how much do you think that that dental dams would be? Is it in the $400 that you're requesting, the price of dental dams?
Yes, they are the same price as the time you're requesting, which is one cent per item.
Okay, so it would be $400 for dental dams? $200? Okay. My feeling is that because those aren't already, they don't exist on campus, that they should get SAFC funding. And I don't know the exact procedure for that with receipts and all that, but I'd like to motion that these funds stay at $200.
So the way this will work procedurally is we first have to disapprove the decision of the Appropriations Committee. That vote has to pass by 2/3 margin, and then you can motion to propose any other allocation you want. So if you want to make a motion to disapprove the Appropriations Committee decision, you can do that.
Okay, so I motion to disapprove the...
Can I have a point of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Will these condoms come in a various range of sizes?
Oh, you have my...
We get a variety, so they will have every quick one.
Okay, so I motion to disapprove the appropriation.
Okay, so...
And also for reference, this vote has to pass by 2/3 vote. If it doesn't pass by 2/3 vote, the Appropriations Committee decision will stand. Yeah.
Sure.
What is the merit of deciding that, you know, I think one of the big things in the position is dealing with this with last semester and talking to outside of, you know, the hallway. It seems like this is an ongoing issue that's a real problem for them. I know it's really great to get the, you know, a one-time decision, even with a dental dam for this semester. Looking forward, is this something you have to look forward to every semester, or is there a student assembly, not SAC, a special project fund of some sort that the SA, now knowing what the issue is on campus, can designate specifically for sexual health items? I mean, it would be great to, you know, fund her at this semester, and then next semester, we're still revising our guidelines, but I can pretty much say that we will not need funding for first-line abuse and giveaways, and that's something you guys agree with as well. So how can we reach for how can you guys, how do you guys make a sustainable decision so that we do not overflood the system of SAFC appeals, SA appeals, and don't, you know, take up everybody's time talking about this semester after semester?
So, basically, our special projects funding, we can do whatever we want with that money. That said, the SA filing funding allocation is meant to be used for SA functions, SA committees, SA administrative expenses, etc. The SA budget has to be approved by each assembly each year, so that inherently doesn't make it any more sustainable than an SAF funding decision. Even though our guidelines are looser. That said, it's also problematic to allocate money that would be allocated through an SAF process to an SAF, or sorry, to an SAFC-funded group through the SA. There's sort of conflict of interest inherent there. Why SAFE? Why not SHAG? Why not a different sexual health group? Which then would bring us back to the point of view of distributing through some neutral medium, which would probably lead us to Gannett. So, at least as I'm sort of thinking through that logic full circle, I don't think the SA is a sustainable source for funding going forward. So I think that this is an issue that maybe through the Women's Resource Committee, working with Gannett, working with other resources on campus, we could look to solve. But the SA itself, I don't think it's sustainable going forward.
I have a question. So how do you propose...
Go ahead.
How do you propose that we're going to solve this issue? Gannett does not have the money to fund our organization. They don't have the money to throw in an extra $100 for conscience.
Point of order, I think there's a motion on the floor.
Yeah.
So that was the response to the point of information, so we'll go ahead and vote.
I also have another addition to the point of information response.
Do you have question?
Just that as an intermediate step before the SAFC guidelines get done, you're always welcome to come to Women's Issues Committee, and I have money from the SA, so we can work together to fund special projects.
Okay. We're now going to vote. Once again, if you would like to vote.
There's no dissent.
Just call it.
Wait, you need to find the vote.
Sorry. If you vote yes, you're voting to approve the SAFC's...
No, we're voting on the Appropriations Committee decision. If you vote yes, you're voting to disapprove the decision of the Appropriations Committee, which would cause us to vote to then go into discussion to reconsider a different dollar amount. So if you vote yes, you're voting to explore potentially funding SAFE on the line item of SAFE sex supplies. If you vote no, SAFE would still be funded at $1,441. $1,441, but would not be funded for safe sex supplies.
Why are people waiting on vote?
Because nobody dissented. Does that make sense to everyone?
Okay, so yes is that we want to give them the money.
Yes is that you want to reconsider.
Okay, and no. No is that we keep it standing.
You keep the purpose. It's going to be a decision as it's written.
Okay, yeah.
That.
No.
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 Yes.
No.
No. Yes. No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Okay.
Oh, is this?
Oh, I can vote.
I'll play no. No.
By a vote of 6-14-0, the Appropriations Committee decision stands. Thank you for coming. Moving on to new business.
Can I move on really quickly?
Yeah.
So, there's nothing else through the SA that we can do about funding.
Yes, you can do new business. You can speak to Natalie. If Natalie will give you your net idea. I just really quickly wanted to also, in front of everyone, really thank Yuli and Charlie for all their hard work, as well as, all the commissioners. Terry and Ari, too, I know they provide a lot of support, and others in the office assemblies, but really, Charlie and Julia, thank you guys. And definitely, let's be in contact over the next couple of weeks about guidelines. So, that is it. Thank you.
Resolution 16, expanding membership of committees, by Representative Mike Smith. I'll give you 2 minutes to just introduce the resolution.
All right. So, at the beginning of the year, we voted to expand the committee and we still support the resolution, but we kept a certain number on the size of the committee. And the reason we had the committee was it seems that the SA wants more student involvement. So, I proposed a resolution that
we take the task off all of the non-operational committees and put in a couple of ideas so that anyone who wants to get involved has the opportunity to get involved. They go through a process where they have to apply, and then VP of IOPS will take their application and bring it to the both the committee chair and the staffing committee, and they would both have to approve it in order to have additional students being added on the committee. And basically, all the other logistical stuff is just in here. So all the changes are just at least clauses and the how additional students will be added to each committee.
Just a reminder, since this is new business, please limit your comments to questions. Parliamentarian Cook.
I had a question with bylaw 7.8.8.2. It's towards the second to last page of your resolution. As to the rationale behind striking how the committee chair should be selected.
Which
7.8.8.2, it's on the bottom where you have crossed out, the chair shall be elected by the committee membership and confirmed by a majority vote of the FA.
That item is
in the state.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's in the, it's actually like an anomaly, I think. And the women's issues, I think this will be voted on it internally, so I don't know, it may need to be changed, but it's just like it's an anomaly.
I think, yeah, in the past, the women's issues committee chair has been elected internally and not by the committee itself, so, yeah, I think. Okay. Anyone else? Representative Brown.
Under the bylaw 7.5.8 for Diamond and 7.5.8.2 for Red Lake, I just have a question about the wording. Right after the VP of Internal Operations will recommend additional students for the committee chair and faculty for their promotion hearing, the next part of it is stricken out, but then the first sentence there, the chair's decision may be overturned by a majority of appointed voting members present. Does that apply to, what does that mean?
Well, the chair has the decision to accept an additional member. So if the staffing committee approved the addition of a new member, but the chair did not, I suppose the entire group would be able to overturn the chair's decision. But it would still have to be met by the staff.
Anyone else have any questions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. DPN.
So I guess maybe this is directed more to Latella, but how would the dining committee, you know, when you guys get invited to the dining hall and all that stuff, would it, like, a large committee be possible to invite
people? No, it would not. I mean, but obviously it's not, like, you know, that's bringing that proposal.
Okay.
I don't really have a question. I mean, I have my recommendations for how we want that, but...
Well, it would be up to you and the group. So if you feel like you can.
I have the discretion on that.
Yeah.
You know, votes or something like that. But I mean, for example, we do have the chef that is a very exciting hall preparing food for us, and they can prepare food for 10 people. And the dining room, so yeah.
You can deal with it. Okay, it was just my question. Okay,
okay, anyone else? All right, we'll see you next time. Resolution 17, clarification of executive committee membership and executive session. VP Kumar and Parliamentarian Cook. Yeah, go.
So essentially, the first
jump over clarification. In the past, I know that the record of elections, the executive department, and the parliamentarians have been kind of big numbers of the executive committee. However, there was a resolution to get rid of that in the past because of our problematic members. And I believe to sort of rectify the situation, the line on the website, of course, in the bylaws, is the resolution to make that. And also that error in the second strikeout insertion, where it specifies the need of the executive session. I know that there was a resolution earlier in the Constitution, but I couldn't find it on the website in terms of the change.
Okay, VP Bates.
Yeah, I think these changes are really good, especially at the end with changing the standards for executive session. Because, again, right now, I guess you technically aren't allowed to be in executive session. Is that correct? Yeah. So I think allowing... So I guess if I had to ask a question here, so this would still prevent liaisons from attending executive session. Can you comment on that? No, no, like your thoughts behind doing that. Yeah.
Well, I come to that with the second part right there. Many members may be invited by the assembly for the
executive session. But so why wouldn't, what was your thought process behind not making liaisons automatically allowed to sit in?
Essentially, when I would be making a broken mistake in what was discussed in the executive committee, so being pretty bad information and saying you can't be in there, so we didn't think it made a lot of sense. However, as the liaisons are generally not represented in any executive session, executive committee meetings, I thought that due to the they're not existing in that by default they shouldn't necessarily be in the invitation for executive session.
Okay. VPN.
Yeah, and I guess this is more of a comment, but or how are you going to make sure that this gets actually into the, once we pass it, that it gets into the charter if we pass it the second time? How are you going to make sure this gets into the charter when we pass it?
I suppose I could contact the clerk in the office of the assembly time.
Very cool.
Really, really quickly, because Ari seems to have preempted me, we're going to try to save paper. Please turn back in your SAC funding guidelines and a packet for safe, to Ari. So if you have them in front of you, try to pass them down, organize them together, so you can give them back to Ari. Thanks.
Okay. Are there any more questions? No? Okay. Meeting adjourned. And we're going to be moving into a quick exec session.
Hang on.
What?
Already happened.
Meeting adjourned.
That was bad.
What?
So what do you want?
Just the guidelines and statements.
Saving trees.
Saving the world.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.